listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, the That's Entertainment capital of the world, it's my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, where it's still winter time.
Oh, yes.
Right in the middle of it, isn't it? How are you doing?
I probably can't complain because I think you guys might have gotten as much snow as we did. Except,
well, how much did you have some on the ground already from the whatever your last storm was?
Not much. And I have today, I did not even go outside. So it looks like we have close to a foot, and it was supposed to snow until like 4 a.m. still. So,
we got about the same amount in the city. Okay. Upstate New York had a little bit more.
What'd you get, Bob?
I'd say we got about 8 to 10 inches because it started to sleet afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping it would keep. This is Bob.
Yes, we have a guest live from Yardley. Well, please welcome back dad / brother Bob Malone.
Hi there. Yes, welcome from equally cold and snowy Yardley. I think we had
equally cold and snowy as most of the country.
Yeah, at
this
I know.
Time. We're recording on Monday the 26th, but by the time this episode arrives in your feeds on February 1st, I imagine the snow will have melted. Not at all.
Yes. I was hoping that it would continue to snow, and instead, by mid-afternoon, it had turned to sleet, ice, freezing rain, and so that cut down on the amount of snow we got. But then we were concerned about how much icing it was going to be, whether it was going to, you know, we were going to have power outages. We didn't have that problem, but we did end up with a, you know, iciness, and the top level of was harder to shovel and all, but it wasn't that bad, and it did cut down on our accumulation. But I did have help with shoveling with our neighbor, young girl next door, and she did a great job, and I felt very good because my back did not go out, and we to accomplish the shoveling.
That's good. I think I'm not sure if I heard further south, so maybe I'm not sure where starting that it was going to be icier, because we didn't.
Yeah, I think they had a lot. They had a lot more ice and not so much snow.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, that's our. We always give our weather report.
Yeah.
When we start.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we, Dad. I think this is your only counting. Full-length episodes. I believe this is your sixth time, so you're going beyond the five timers club. But you also have a lot of mini episode appearances as well. But so what have you been doing since the last time you joined us?
Well, I don't remember what that.
I know what was that.
What
the
that episode
one?
Was, but I've been. What have I been doing? That's a. I've been not enjoying the winter that much, but have
that's
been
a leading question. Too many. Things.
Well, I think you were on the last March Madness episode with me and Jeff Smith, but that was not numbered as a full length episode. I think you were on more recently than the Beatles. That was what was that like 4 years ago at this point?
I've done a lot since then. I guess the main thing was marrying off my daughter.
Yes.
In October.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
And celebrating the holidays with my family.
It's all a blur.
Yeah.
Holidays.
Oh, Dad, I located it. It was about a year and a half ago. Do you remember what we were podcasting?
A full one, you mean?
Yeah, full length episode. In the middle of 2024.
Oh, and that was not basketball related.
No, but we might have talked some basketball. in this episode. It may have come up.
I don't know. I forget from...
What happened in 2024?
2024. Olympics?
Yeah.
Is it Olympics?
Oh. It was the Summer Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, and I think that was when you officially hit the five-time press club with that appearance. But we're talking numbers even higher than five or even six for this episode. We'll get to that in a second. But before we dive into the main topic, did everyone here catch the Oscar nominations? They were announced a few days ago.
Yep.
Any thoughts?
Yep. I just wrote a couple things. I was kind of surprised about Sinners breaking the Oscar record. I don't know. I saw it and I remember I was afraid to see it. Riley was raving about it and I thought it was going to be scary. She's like, it's not scary. And I like parts of it, but I mean, I love Michael B. Jordan, so I'm glad it did well, but I was kind of shocked that it got that many nominations. And my other thing.
The thing about that is it's not just that it's so beloved. It's that it had an element that it was nominated in every single category it was eligible for. So, it had acting. It was, that's up for picture, director, screenplay, multiple acting, also editing, makeup, cinematography, score, song, visual effects, sound. So it was it's a blockbuster and it has all the designs and effects, so it's just because a movie gets the most nominations and even breaks the record doesn't necessarily mean it's the best movie.
Yeah.
It more means it was my favorite movie of the year, but it more means it was good in every area that a movie can be good, I guess.
My other thoughts were, before the Golden Globes, there were five movies that I never even heard of. And I'm like, what is happening with all this year? This a lot of foreign movies that were nominated in the regular categories and
a lot of the actors.
Set a record for most foreign language acting performances in a single year.
I know. I was like, didn't we have enough American actors it just seemed odd to me that
I think in the last decade or so there's been a lot more international members who have been brought into the Academy. So it's more of an international awards show than it used to be. I would say
I was happy about Kate Hudson, though, because I like her so much. So,
have you seen that movie yet?
She was so good. I loved her. And the only other thing, I think I've said this before, that I don't like is that I feel like I already know who's going to win in the major categories, because when you watch the Globes and then the SAGs are going to be on, it's not always, but pretty much the winners. The same winners, and that kind of takes away some of it for me. I don't know if you guys
They should set a rule of Hollywood. The mayor of Hollywood should make it a law that the other awards have to be a secret until the Oscars or something.
I guess years ago, maybe they weren't all televised, so I didn't feel like I always knew, but now I do. Anyway, that was, I don't know if you have. I think we should start talking about our main topic.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts?
No. I just wasn't really impressed this year by the movies. I didn't see a lot, but I didn't have real strong feelings towards the movies that I did see this year. I wasn't overwhelmed by them, and then I did agree with Beth. I thought there were you know, even at the Golden Globes, I said, and the Oscar nominations, I said, it's one thing when there's a foreign movie or two that are nominated for Best Picture, but when they're getting the nominations for Best Actor and Actress, I just have a little resistance to that. And I know they've been doing it for a while where they opened up more nominations for Best Picture, but I think that's a little excessive when there's now it seems to be 10 every year.
I think in 2009 was the first year where there was like we're going to do between 5 and 10. And then it usually ended up being like 8 or 9, but then maybe it was 5 years ago thereabouts they're like it's 10. It's going to be exactly 10. So like you'll know the exact amount it's going to be. I can kind of see it both ways. I think I used to be when they first expanded the field, I was like, let's be stricter about the rules. I'd prefer just sticking with just the five best, but more recently, I've been like, you know what? 10's great. Let's, you know what? And let's have 10 in every other category. And let's give out multiple awards in every category.
I don't know, gets too much. This time I felt like they had to really stretch their choices for the 10.
And yet there was no room for SpongeBob. Okay. Well, I guess we're all ready for our main topic then.
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, in case you're new to Ets Entertainment or you need a refresher, the way this show works is we pick a pop culture topic and then discuss it according to the three Fs. Those Fs are first, favorite, and forever. You know, it's like you'll figure it out as we go along. But anyway, yeah, so this time around the topic is a person. What do you think about that? And it's a person that I think all three of us have been entertained by our entire lives. And we decided to celebrate him with this podcast episode on the occasion of him hitting the century mark. Yes, Mr. Dick Van Dyke turned the big 100. Back on December, does anyone remember the exact date?
I think it's the 13th. It's either the 13th or the 14th, that weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right, Aunt Beth. I think it was the 13th.
Yeah, I think it's the 13th.
December 13th, 1925. So that was, what day of the week was that this year? That was Saturday? Saturday? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so not Friday the 13th for his 100th. But yes, Dick Van Dyke, star of the an eponymous sitcom and movies and stage, and he's still alive and kicking. So to celebrate his 100th birthday, why don't we all, I think we all know the tune, let's hum that famous theme song together written by Earl Hagen, and let's all pretend we're tripping over an ottoman or almost catching ourselves and not tripping over it as we go. All right, everyone ready?
We're gonna let you sing it.
Well, I'll start and you can join in with me on the second beat. In 3, 2, 1. All right, that was the quick version, the 8-second version instead of the full 30 seconds. Okay, so Dick Van Dyke. We'll start off with the first section. And okay, so when did we first become aware of Mr. Van Dyke? Was it in fact the Dick Van Dyke Show, or somehow something else? I have a feeling I know the answer from our guest and my co-host, but maybe I'll be surprised. Dad, let us know your beginnings.
Okay. Well, I discussed this with my sister because it was hard for us to pinpoint. The show started in 1961. At that time, I was 8 years old, yeah. And my sister was a little younger. I won't say give the ages, but we don't believe we were watching prime time at that point. We don't think we were watching it for several years. But Bye Bye Birdie came out in 1963.
Yeah.
I know that I saw that when it came out. So I believe I first saw him in Bye Bye Birdie. In fact, when it came out, I saw it twice.
In one day?
In one day. At that time, you were not a movie usher, Jeff, but we stayed in the movie theater twice with my brother and Joey Johnson. So we were in the theater for about 3.5 hours.
Because you wanted to see it again?
Yes, or? We saw it twice in a row. They didn't kick us out.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was probably the summer of 63 that I saw Bye Bye Birdie. And now the next year he was in Mary Poppins in 64. Mm-hmm. So whether I was starting to watch Dick Van Dyke in prime time, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I might have started to watch it occasionally. I don't mm-hmm. really remember. We started, but then mid-60s, the show was on reruns, especially summer reruns.
Mm-hmm.
And then 11:30 a.m., right?
Yeah, that's what I remember.
We were, and primarily in the summertime. So we watched that a lot. We watched it religiously. And throughout probably the second half of the 60s, we watched it a lot. And at the same time we were watching, I might have watched the last year or two occasionally in prime time. But I think it was definitely watching him, seeing him in the movies first.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a tough question too, because I think I was definitely too young to watch the show when it premiered. And so I was the same thing. I would have watched it in the summer reruns, or if we were ever home from school, I remember watching, like if we were sick, it was on at 11:30. So I don't know if that was first or if I had seen him in Mary Poppins first, because I feel like I was older when I first saw Bye Bye Birdie. Maybe I watched, I don't know, think I saw it. Well, I was going to say, I don't think I saw it in the theater, but where would I don't know if they showed it on like the afternoon 4:30 movie or whatever. So I was probably watching the summer repeats. And then I think in the early 70s, maybe 1969 or 70, they started showing it in the evenings, like 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And that's when you and I kind of became obsessed with it, I think, was, although maybe we already were from the 11:30, but, and then our god cousin, Gary, was over a lot. And so I can remember all of us after dinner and we would sit and watch it at 7 o'clock. So, but I know I had already seen him in that before that. So I'm not, but I don't know the exact year.
Do you remember what channel it was on at 7? Because it was originally on CBS. Was it?
Yeah, I don't
was
think.
Was it rerun there or a different channel?
Yeah, I think it was a syndicated station that we were watching on. I think CBS, but I don't know if it was just the local.
I know.
The local.
I bet during the day, the summer reruns was definitely CBS, but I don't know about at night. I read something quickly interesting that said, you guys might have already read this, that after the first season, it was not doing very well.
Yeah.
And Carl Reiner.
I think they mentioned that on the American Masters episode.
Yeah. And Carl Reiner decided to start showing reruns, which was really not heard of back then.
Oh.
And they think that's what helped it be able to have another, a second season.
So, but I think it was also placed after the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, so that was a good
prime time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at on its Wikipedia page. Its first season, it was 80th in the ratings.
Wow. What's wrong with people?
And its second season, what do you think it was?
10th?
Very close.
But 9th.
9th.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, and the rating number jumped from 16.1 to 27.1.
Wow. Yeah. So when did you first see him, Jeff?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint exactly. I mean, he's one of those entertainers where I feel like I've been aware of him from such a young age where I don't really remember a time where I didn't know him. But I feel like I do have a sense that I was introduced to him. Like, it wasn't someone that I knew, like, since before I formed memories, but like I probably was introduced to the Dick Van Dyke Show when I was around 8 or so, I'm thinking. And I'm like, I'm not sure if it was my dad who introduced me or if it was Nick at Night who introduced me. Nickelodeon's, you know, block of classic TV shows, which usually started start at 9 o'clock most nights. Nowadays, I think Friends is the Nick at Night show, typically, or at least it was the last time I checked, which I guess makes sense because Friends started about 30 years ago. And when I was growing up, Dick Van Dyke was on 30 years ago. Dad, do you remember like specifically guiding me towards watching the Dick Van Dyke Show?
No.
Or did you ever like walk in on me watching Nick at Night or TV Land and you were proud of me at that moment?
I don't remember. I mean, we probably discussed it, but I don't remember saying, oh, you should watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, we have DVDs of it too.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I feel like I have also a memory of, like, in the early days of DVDs, there were, like, some discs placed in cereal boxes. Do you remember this?
Oh.
Like, promotional DVDs. It's like, buy Cheerios and get a free DVD of 5 episodes of Dick Van Dyke Show or I Love Lucy or whatever. And I was familiar. I'm sure I had seen it before then, but like when classic TV shows on DVD were becoming a thing, like that was a way to spread the word about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also like got the sense from Nick at Night that Dick Van Dyke, along with I Love Lucy and a few others, like these were the titans of classic TV sitcoms. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it was like current TV did a good, then current to my childhood, did a good job of educating me about this being an important show and a funny show in the history of television.
Jeff, as an aside to delve deeper, you should know that your aunt and I also did our own recording of Bye Bye Birdie one summer. I think we almost spent the whole summer doing it.
Just the theme, main song, or the entire soundtrack?
We did the whole album with very primitive tape recorder and our neighbor.
Google the lyrics, so we would listen to the song and stop and then write down each lyric.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Where is that? We should find that.
I don't think it survived the tape, but we would play. We would play the musical, play the album, play the music, and then stop that, and then do our versions of the songs. And we had our neighbor Anthony Caparazzo would play, sing the higher parts, and yeah.
We'll have to see if we can digitize that, like you did with the Dansbury Open tapes, take it to the same place.
I know.
It was a labor of love.
Yes. So that was, I would have been like seventh or eighth grade then. That, so then I was loving Bye Bye Bert. I just don't know when I first watched it, but yeah. Mm. Okay. All right. This next topic is going to be a hard one.
Okay, yeah. So I guess we'll move on to favorite then.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And the favorite section, as you might be able to guess, is where we talk about our most beloved aspects of the topic at hand. So I decided to frame that matter thusly this time around. What are our favorite Dick Van Dyke Show episodes, and what are our favorite things that Dick Van Dyke has ever done outside of that show? And well, I think we got a sense of that so far, but again, maybe we'll be surprised. So Dad, you go ahead and let's see if you could somehow keep it to just a few episodes.
Okay. Well, just as an introduction, as I said, the show was on 61 through 66, so at just 60 years ago, but I still think that the Dick Van Dyke Show holds up as one of the top sitcoms of all time. It's one of the funniest, most entertaining. And it was, more mature, more sophisticated than most of the sitcoms of the time, and more literate. And even it was more believable, more literate than other shows then. You did have a lot of singing and dancing. They would drop, Rob and Laura would sing and dance at the drop of a hat, but that was still believable because they were a showbiz couple. They would have, they would have entertainment people at their house for parties. He was writing, he was the writer for a comedy show. So that, that's realistic. And they had met as a USO couple, and they would have a lot of flashbacks to their USO days. And she was a dancer. So that's, it wasn't a stretch to show them singing and dancing. And that was, and Rob, Dick Van Dyke is just such a fantastic dancer. He's a slapstick comedian, but a fantastic dancer. So it was just a great excuse for him to do that. Plus, he was just a great slapstick comic, a great faller. Yeah. One of my inspirations.
Yeah.
But it definitely was tough to come up with favorite episodes. One of my all-time favorites, and it's called It May Look Like a Walnut, when Rob has watched a science fiction show, and then he wakes up. Well, he has a dream, but when he wakes up, it's still the dream, and everybody from this planet looks like Danny Thomas, which is funny because Danny Thomas is the producer of their show. And people have lost their thumbs and I think lost their sense of humor, and they drink air. And then there's a scene where he opens the closet and Laura comes flying out of the closet on a pile of walnuts. And Rob's like the only one who's still an earthling, and everybody else has been taken over by the walnuts. So it's really a funny sci-fi, sci-fi episode.
Wait, and there's you already mentioned him, but I wrote that line down. Somebody says, "What is a Danny Thomas?"
and that is in the, in most of the TV Guide or other, it's considered one of the top sitcoms, top episodes, not just the Dick Van Dykes, but it's rated way up there. One of my other favorites is called The Man from My Uncle, where
I wrote that one too.
I guess it's an FBI agent comes, and it's played by Godfrey Cambridge, where they think that their neighbor is a spy, and so they want to use their Rob's house to spy on the spy, and Rob can't keep from observing and getting in the way of Godfrey Cambridge. And it's just really funny.
I'm sorry, but his name's Harry Bond in it.
Oh yeah, Bond, Harry Bond. Yeah.
Bond, Mr. Bond.
You didn't have a lot of black actors then, and Godfrey Cambridge is really funny. And just as Rob, you know, getting a chance to play a junior spy in there. Another one is called Big Max Calvada. A gangster, and this is played by Sheldon Leonard, who again was one of the producers of the show, has a young nephew that they want to be a comedian, and they want Rob and Buddy and Sally to write jokes for this guy. And he's a horrible comedian. And they write jokes for him, and he just ruins the delivery of them, and then they're afraid that if he doesn't do a good job, that, you know, Rob and Buddy and Sally are afraid what's going to happen to them, because these gangsters want him to deliver. But actually it turns out that that just proves that he can't be he can't be a comic. And I think, what do they want him to be, a dentist, Beth?
I forget. They wanted to go to school for something. But
even though
lawyer, maybe.
Yeah, one of the gangsters still thinks he's good. He says, "This kid breaks me up." Those are, I think, three of my favorite. But we also like The Redcoats Are Coming. You know, during the British invasion, they had to do a show about that, and they had Chad and Jeremy, the real Chad and Jeremy, and they hide them at Rob and Laura's house before they're going to appear on the show, on the Alan Brady Show. And then
they were so funny. I just rewatched that again recently, and Chad and Jeremy were really funny on that. I loved it.
No, I didn't watch it. And then there's the time Rob and Laura spend a time at a hotel, and Laura gets her toe stuck in the faucet, the line I always remember is she's in the bathroom and stuck there, and then Rob says to the hotel detective and the other guy, "You should see this. You come on in. You guys have to see this." It's, no, don't come in. Don't come in.
I wrote that. He said, at one point you called him and he said, "Don't toy with me, you saucy wench." That one too.
Yeah. And that's just some of them. And then whenever his brother, Stacy Van Dyke, Dick Van Dyke's actual brother, appeared on, there were two-parters. Whenever he was on, they were great shows. So do you have others, Beth?
Yeah, I have a few others, but I also wrote down, besides favorite episodes, that the titles of the shows are so clever too. At the time, I probably didn't even notice, you know, when they typed, but then I was going over and reading them all, and some of them are just so funny, like that you didn't list, because I have a lot of the same ones, was called All About Eavesdropping. And that is hilarious. That Rob and Laura are supposed to go to a party at their neighbor, Millie and Jerry's, and they accidentally turn on the kids' walkie-talkie. Oh my God. And they hear them, Millie and Jerry, saying some negative things about them.
And, is this one of the lines? "I'm no Albert Schweitzer"?
Yes, I wrote that down. They said he's no Albert. Rob's no Albert Schweitzer. And then they were playing, I don't know if Rob or Laura said, "You're eavesdropping, we need to go." And one of them said, "We can eave a drop longer," which I thought was a great line. They said they were playing charades, and they said, "Malicious accusery" and all these things. Do you remember that?
Knife in the back.
On the street where you live. So that was another one. But some of the titles were great. So that was another one that I picked that you didn't, All About the Eavesdropping. And then I just rewatched this, and I forgot how funny it was. It's called 4 and a Half, and it's with Don Rickles plays Lyle Delp.
Oh, yeah.
And they get he holds them up in an elevator. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it's kind of a two-part because yeah. at the end of the show, Dick Van Dyke says, join us next week when we go to the prison. I never saw him do that, them do that before. Oh, so yeah. I watched both of them because then they entertained. It was one of those entertain. Oh, well, they mistake Rob for a prisoner. Do you remember that? And so they put him, they won't let him out of the jail. But
then
finally
he drops his pants.
Yes.
Because are these, right. is this the underwear of a.
Yeah.
Jeff, you, then, Beth, your aunt and I could reminisce for hours yes, about the
yeah,
shows.
You picked the wrong. just one line from the Redcoats. He says, one of them says, do you know what we call one of these in England? A chair, when he's pointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, you should see, I know, it was fun rewatching. I did write down, Uni Oops was funny. I watched they're all, I mean, like we said, we go crazy because we think they're all, and the last one I wrote that you didn't is, although I guess I didn't put it in my top five, but One Angry Man is funny when he's on jury duty. Do you remember that when he likes the woman and he like falls out of the chair?
Yeah, he makes a spectacle of himself.
Yeah. So those were, and the last one I watched just before was Coast to Coast Big Mouth, where Laura tells people that Alan Brady is bald, and that's a good one. They wanted to highlight her, I think, in that one.
A funny thing was, Jeff, Beth and I were really, we were kind of afraid of Carl Reiner as Alan Brady because he was, you know, he was supposed to be the mean boss, and that was based on his days working on the your show of shows with Sid Caesar. Mm-hmm. Sid Caesar was a really, you know, a funny guy, but a really tough boss. And that's what Carl Reiner based his whole show on, was his experiences working with Sid Caesar. And Carl Reiner is just such a lovable guy in person. But I think he had so much fun playing that mean boss. And
he was scary.
For us, we were like, Alan Brady, just like the whole
so mean
cast and the writing crew was afraid of him. We were like, he's so mean,
you know,
not knowing that Carl Reiner and Rob Reiner, just such lovable people.
Yeah. Remember hearing that. So, I don't know who said that Carl Reiner was like one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Then I'll get handed to you, Jeff, the line from that Coast to Coast Big Mouth when Laura goes to talk to him and he's like, what am I going to do with all these? He's got his toupees. And she said, there must be some needy bald people.
Yeah.
the writing is just. Okay, Joe, we want to hear yours because yours could be a lot different than ours. So.
They're half different. I didn't rewatch the whole series, unfortunately, but there were two in that have stuck with me more than any other episode over the years. And Dad, one was the first one that you mentioned, It May Look Like a Walnut, which I may be the most famous episode in the of the entire show's run. It was like, I think TV Guide ranked it among their 100 greatest episodes of all time. And I find that interesting because it feels like such a form breaking episode. You know, it's not about writing the Alan Brady show or raising a family. It's this weird fantasy diversion. I mean, it's like a Funhouse Mirror version of the things that they normally do. But it's, you know, if that's the only episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show that someone has ever seen, they wouldn't really have a great idea of what the whole show is all about.
Yeah.
I mean, unless, you know, like someone told them, like, you know, this is a different type of episode, but maybe see what you can guess what it's normally like when, you know, when they're not pretending they're in a sci-fi horror movie. But yeah, just the, I remember you, I don't know if you talked to me about the plot of the episode before I first watched it or if I saw it first and then we talked about it, but I remember it became like a common punchline, like, oh, did you hear what happened to my thumb? It turned into walnut. Danny Thomas he kept throwing walnuts at me, and I had a dream, and walnuts were in it for, you know, it's just very silly thing, but somehow it just all comes together. And then the other episode that I have listed is That's My Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I think with two question marks in the title, where Dick, as Rob Petrie, starts to worry that he and Laura brought the wrong baby boy home from the hospital after they have their son. And it's a universal worry that I'm sure a lot of parents have had, is crossed their mind at some point. Maybe not to the point that Rob was freaking out about it, but it has the best punchline ever. He gets in touch with the other couple who had a baby boy the same day in the hospital, the same hospital as them. And they're going to meet at the Petrie house. And are they going to actually switch their babies? And then Rob opens the door and it becomes very obvious that no, that both families have the right babies, because they have a very different, the other family has a lot more melanin than Rob and Laura do. Let's put it that way. And this episode got a lot of talk about on the Dick Van Dyke American Masters episode. And they brought Henry Louis Gates in, Dr. Henry Louis Gates, to talk about, not only was this a very funny episode, but it was very important in the history of television, you know, that a black family would be on an otherwise very white sitcom, an otherwise very white medium at that time in the country. And it wasn't, and, you know, like, there was concern that, like, the CBS, they were saying, was threatening not to even air that episode. Yeah. They're like, let us record it. Let's see how the live audience reacts. And the crowd just went wild. They were cracking up. And I mean, it is kind of a big deal that it broke the color barrier in a way, kind of, but it's just played for laughs. The characters were just lovely people. I mean, just the whole way that episode concluded, it was like, okay, this is such a relief in like every possible way after Rob got himself all worked up. But yeah, that
didn't they say it even, got like the longest laugh of
laugh, yeah,
that's I thought I yeah. Would, yeah, it was just so clever.
But yeah, so I rewatched that episode over to get ready for this, and even knowing it was coming, it still works. But yeah, so then do we have any favorites beyond the show that we wanted to mention? I've got Bye Bye Birdie written down. I mean, I love him as all the guest star appearances. I think he was on The Middle, I believe, in one episode. So that was the show that Aunt Beth and I both loved. But yeah, it was like to have to pick just one non-Dick Van Dyke Show thing. It was like, I think Bye Bye Birdie was his, I would say that was his crowning achievement outside of his sitcom achievements. But what did you, Aunt Beth or Dad, did you have anything written down?
I mean, I loved his dancing in Mary Poppins, but what another important thing was, a couple years after the Dick Van Dyke Show, he hosted, and he did occasional variety shows, but he had an important variety show that was called Dick Van Dyke and the Other Woman, and that was him and Mary Tyler Moore. And after that show, that kind of brought back Mary Tyler Moore. And it was after that show that she got, I guess, re-noticed. And that's when she got picked up for the Mary Tyler Moore show. So it was like the popularity of that variety show led to her being selected for the Mary Tyler Moore show.
I wonder if you can find that anywhere. I should look if it's streaming.
But that was that variety show was very popular. That it was a one-time special.
Oh, it was just a one.
Yeah, that wasn't a series. It was a one-time show, but it was really popular, and that kind of led. That was kind of led directly to her getting her show.
It looks like it might be on YouTube, but like someone's old VHS recording, they uploaded it to YouTube. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm looking at it now. There's some fuzz on it, but otherwise decent quality for something that old.
I also wrote that when they redid Mary Poppins, I forget how many, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, with Emily Blunt.
And I think maybe 8 years ago at this point, or Dick maybe seven plus. I think it was Christmas 2018.
Okay.
Around so, then, let me check.
Dick Van Dyke's only in it for a few minutes towards the end, and he dances. And I just couldn't stop smiling. Like, he made the whole movie for me.
That was so delightful.
I know. Yeah. And anything like, I remember him doing a couple serious. He did that The Morning After the 19. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that movie in 1974? Yeah. He played an alcoholic. I remember that was really powerful. But he just. Anything he does, he just makes me happy. So you know what I thought, Bob? We never watched. So then he was in that show, Diagnosis Murder. Yeah. We never watched it. And I'm wondering.
Our mother was a big fan of that.
She'd watched it?
She watched that regularly.
We were kind of Dick Van Dyke show snobs, I think. Yeah. We just wanted to watch. But yeah, those were the. He's done a lot since then, so. All right.
Okay, is it time for some trivia then?
Yeah.
All right, Dad, did you come up with any trivia questions?
I guess I'll just ask it directly. Do you know how many Emmys Dick Van Dyke has won? Ooh. You have bonus points if you can name what they are.
Oof. I read it, but I can't remember. It's like 5 or 6, maybe.
I was going to say 10.
Okay. Beth, you are right. If you're half right, since you said 5 or 6.
Six
is correct.
Okay. So how many?
Can you elaborate?
Wow. Well, so I think at least 3 or 4 for the show. For the Dick Van Dyke show.
Mm-hmm.
All of those were for acting.
Outstanding actor in a comedy series. That's 3.
Did he win?
Do you know what any of the others were?
Did he win for that Morning After?
No, he didn't.
No.
I think he might have won a variety show.
He won for Outstanding Comedy Variety. I think that's what that was for.
Okay.
The other two are a little unusual. But
Best Puppetry.
No, that should give you an idea. Where would you see a puppet? It wasn't a puppet, but what would a puppet be on? What kind of
children's show? Yeah.
He won a daytime Emmy
for being on The Muppets.
For Days of Our Lives.
Oh yeah, recently.
Guest performer.
That's right.
And then he won children's programming outstanding performer. So he won 2 daytime Emmys.
Funny, yeah. I forgot that. I remember hearing that he just won the soap opera.
That's funny. Yeah.
So okay. I did 2. One's a general Dick Van Dyke, and one is about the show. So he started the medical drama Diagnosis Murder. what series is it a spinoff of, which he also guest starred in? I'll give you a couple choices, because Matlock, the original Matlock, Moonlighting, Silk Stockings, or Jake and the Fat Man.
I would guess Matlock.
Okay, what do you have a guess, Bob?
Just to be different, I think Jeff's right, but just to be different, I'll say Jake and the Fat Man.
That's what it is, Jake and the Fat Man. I would have I never knew that. I don't even know what that was about, because Diagnosis Murder.
It was about Jake and the Fat Man.
He was a doctor, right, in the Diagnosis Murder one?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was okay, and then I'll do quick. For the show, the, quote, trip over the ottoman gag was inspired by the same gag in what? And I never knew this either. It's
another
from
show
a,
or?
A movie.
A movie, not a...
In Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara tripped over the ottoman.
It's old, though.
Is it comedy?
Bringing Up Baby.
No.
Party movie?
Even older. Wow. I think it.
The train arriving into the station.
Keep going. What did you say?
I said Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, no. And then Jeff? I thought you said something after that. No. Nope. Thought I heard you
I
say
said
it.
The train arriving into the station.
No.
Buster Keaton.
No. Close.
Harold Lloyd.
Yeah.
They're all around. All around the before I
did
think
we say Chaplin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you say Chaplin?
No, Jeff just said it. One of the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Charlie,
the little a little tramp.
The Charlie
that was
Chaplin
character, you...
Modern Times. The tramp character fantasizes coming home and trips over his ottoman.
Oh.
I never heard that before, but anyway. Okay. Oh, and there should be a trivia. Was it Maury Amsterdam that wrote wrote lyrics to the intro? But I don't know. We should look that up sometime. Okay, Jeff, you do yours.
All right. Well, my question's a little more about something a little more recent. What was the name of Dick Van Dyke's costumed identity on season 9 of The Masked Singer?
Was
it the gnome?
Do you have a guess, Sam Beth?
No, because I remember hearing it, but I'll say the pig, because I have no
the
idea.
Pig? Well, there has been a piglet.
Okay.
On The Masked Singer, but Dad, you are correct. It was the gnome.
How did you know that?
Because we got it wrong in our trivia a couple years ago.
At Yardley Country Club?
Yeah, they said, who played the gnome? And we did not know that.
Not Christy Gnome.
Yeah.
G-N-O-M-E Gnome.
Yes.
How did he sing well when he was on it?
I think he was eliminated on the first episode.
Oh.
But let me see what what song he did. I'm sure the judges gave him plenty of compliments. He sang When You're Smiling by Billie Holiday.
I have to say this, even though when you're talking about dancing, you've got to rewatch The Twizzle. Because I just watched it to watch him dance. His moves are just unbelievable. And he said he was never really trained in dancing, but his legs are like rubber legs. Oh, the twizzle was funny. Twist a little and you twist a lot. It's Randy. That's a good
trivia. Is that the guy's name?
Randy Twizzle, but do you know what his real name was?
No.
Randy Eisenbauer, not Eisenhower. Eisenbauer. Okay. I'm sorry. I keep getting off because I just watched a bunch of these recently to try to. And so now I know. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, let's, I guess, go to our final section entitled Forever.
Forever! Forever! Forever!
And when it comes to forever, we take stock of where we are now and look ahead to the future. And, well, Dick Van Dyke, he may be 100, but he's said he's feeling great. He's given a few interviews. So, you know, he's done a lot. He may be 100, but is there anything we'd like to see from him while he's still alive and kicking? Anything else that we haven't seen yet? Dad, what do you think?
It's just, it's always a pleasure just to see him talk and be interviewed. And I just like to see him keep dancing.
Yeah.
Like anywhere, any specific venue?
No, I don't think he's going to do actually any more formal.
Just keep dancing at home?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he'll, no, he might appear on a show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Might make a guest appearance.
Well, The Masked Singer is that, that was only 3 years ago, I think, that he was on that.
Wow.
Yes, that season was 2023, so.
Sheesh. I just want him to stay healthy and nothing new. I just said, I just love to see him. I could watch a show that has Dick Van Dyke show clips. Like, I could watch that every day. I think one of the shows I was watching, they didn't show enough clips. I was like, I want to see more. But new stuff, no, because he's, I don't think, like you said, unless he was a guest star. He sounds pretty good, except he said his memory isn't what it used to be, but maybe that's because he's 100. And I think he walks with a cane now, maybe. But yeah, just stay healthy. And he's like my favorite performer of all time. So even though he's this old, it's still going to be sad when he's gone. He and I don't know where that question came up. He and Larry Matthews are the only ones left from the show that are alive. So
it was Larry Matthews.
That was Richie.
His son.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He must be around 70 or close to our age, right? Because if he in 61.
Yeah,
he's probably.
Here's my idea.
Okay.
He could be a guest judge on an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, you think that.
He'd get a kick out of all the drag queens?
I don't know. He could be a guest.
I think he'd appreciate their showmanship.
Maybe,
at least.
Yeah, the showmanship. Mm-hmm. I didn't think of that though. He could have been like on a dance show though.
Yeah.
And a guest judge because he's just so good. Yeah. So hopefully we'll just keep seeing him around. Maybe he'll join Mel Brooks's 100th party. Yep. I don't know if they're friends or not, but he and Dick and Mel.
Well, they can talk about, I'm sure they talk about Carl Reiner.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that, I guess, does that wrap it up then?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. And I guess, okay. So before we say au revoir completely for another episode, this is the part of the show where we promote anything that we or anyone we know is doing that we'd like to promote. And where we also recommend things by answering the question, is there anything you'd like to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunts and or nephews? So, Dad, anything to promote or recommend?
Nothing to promote. What I'm watching right now, I would just recommend to my adult and nephews. And nieces. We're watching Steel on Prime Video.
Is that with Shaquille O'Neal?
No, it's not. It's with Sophie Turner.
Oh, okay. Steel.
And
that's on.
And
Prime.
I'm watching halfway through the Mel Brooks documentary.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. Okay.
What's that? That's on HBO.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm waiting for Shrinking starts. I think that starts in a couple of days, the new season of Shrinking.
Come on, Sam.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, that, yeah. All of a sudden I was caught up, kind of caught up, and then lots of new stuff, and then all like regular shows are coming back, so I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, it's been a little, January was a little slow for us because like Matlock and Elsbeth and weren't on. I guess High Potential just started up.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
That's all I've got.
I have, just because I've watched it since, except for the first episode, Survivor, the 50th season, if you can believe it, starts at the end of February. So I'm kind of excited about that. And they're doing a Scrubs revival, which also starts the end of February. And Lincoln Lawyer's coming on again soon. You watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one. And then I heard, this is the one I watched. Did you watch Ripple on Netflix? It was really good. They kind of compared it to This Is Us. Like it was about six different people and how they were kind of not related, but, you know, their stories. And I enjoyed that one a lot. So I recommend that one. That's it for
I will promote as usual our Patreon. If you'd like to support us that way, please do. And as always, Ken Jeong, you still have an open invitation to appear as a guest on this podcast whenever you'd like. Has he ever worked with Dick Van Dyke? Well, I guess he was a judge on The Masked Singer, so he saw him there. But has he ever? I feel like Ken Jeong has worked with everyone. Of course, promote my blog, jmoney.com. I'm currently working my way through my best of 2025 coverage. And then I will recommend a couple of things, a couple of shows. Best Medicine on Fox, starring Josh Charles, just started. It's a few episodes into it. He's playing a doctor who moves back to the small seaside town he grew up in, I think somewhere in New England. It's based on, I think, the British show Doc Martin.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that so far. Annie Potts and Josh Segarra are also in the supporting cast, and I've enjoyed them in other things. So that convinced me to give this a try. And then I will recommend Good Sports on Amazon Prime. Aunt Beth, have you been watching the Good Sports?
That's the Keenan and Kevin one.
It premiered back in November, and I somehow missed the premiere. So it's on, new episodes are on Tuesdays. They did their Olympic recap show. Now they've got a weekly recap show of all sports.
And have you heard?
Guess who was a guest?
I just was wondering if they're going to be on the Winter Olympics because they were
funny. Winter Olympics will start soon.
Yeah, that's right. February 5th, I believe.
That Friday, 5th. Or 6th.
Yeah, the Friday. Yeah. Friday's the 6th. I was looking it up to see if they were, but I couldn't find any info about it. But I'm wondering, maybe since this show is on Amazon, maybe they can't do that at the same time they do an Olympic show, which would be on Peacock. I don't know. I mean, Keenan's still, he's on SNL on NBC every week, so he's part of the NBC Peacock family.
But
I don't know. Maybe part of their deal with Amazon was that they couldn't do the Olympic show at the same time, but. If they are allowed to, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see them.
I know they're so
talking about the Olympics again.
You were saying something about somebody guest starring.
Oh yeah, so Kevin Hart was he missed last week's episode. So who do you think Keenan brought on to guest host?
Cal.
No.
Very correct. And really? Guess what they announced? They're doing a project together. They're meeting a classic movie character who actually just had another movie. They're starring with a classic movie character who has been in movies since the 30s and actually was in a movie that just came out recently and is up for Oscars, including Best Picture.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. Keenan and Kel meet Frankenstein. Oh, coming coming out very soon.
Good guess, Bob. Did you see Frankenstein, the new one?
No.
That's one of three Best Picture nominees that I've got that I've yet to see.
Wow. I thought it was very
Train Dreams. The Secret Agent.
I saw
you liked it, Aunt Beth? Frankenstein.
I always thought it was going to be too scary, but it's not. So, all right. When you're done, I have to say I'll do this after you stop recording because I have to tell Bobby two lines. So, but we can say goodbye.
Okay. Before we say goodnight, you can leave us a review if you'd like to, and we'll happily read it on air. And you can follow us on social media. We're on Blue Sky, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I guess it's time to did Dick Van Dyke have a way of saying goodbye, or did
I don't know.
Really. Dad, say your maybe trip over, do your falling as you say goodbye.
Yes.
I just fell. Your inspiration. Bob,
he certainly was, yes.
For your fall. Yes, and when he's sitting in the jury duty and he's the last one to go in, he trips over everybody to get in his seat in the jury. So I will say what is good night.
And I'll say keep your emotes handy and your eyes open.